Betting on sports can be hard, but hiring Morgan & Morgan is easy. Morgan & Morgan is America's largest injury law firm. They have over 100 offices nationwide and more than 1,000 lawyers. Their fee is free unless they win. For more information, go to forthepeople.com/bestbets or dial pound law, pound 529 from your cell phone. That's forthepeople.com/bestbets. This is a paid advertisement.
The numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Welcome in, everybody. Tuesday morning edition of A Numbers Game with Kelly Bidlin holding it down in downtown Las Vegas at our Circus Sportsbook Studios. I'm Ben Wilson. Kelly, great to be back with you, sir. Big show for us today. And as we get rocking for the NBA Cup, it is back today. I know you are very extra fired up. The quarterfinals getting underway tonight, sir.
That's right. I'm excited. NBA Cup. Gil's not here. This gets to be like the, you know, when you get like Family Guy, there's like the Meg episodes of Family Guy they always make fun of. This is like the Kelly episode of A Numbers Game. NBA Cup, baby. Let's get way too excited for it. I am pumped. I'm pumped. And Ben, I've got bets on both games, which I really didn't think I was going to have probably about 24 hours ago. Yeah.
Interesting. I thought you would have said like the Marge Simpson episode, but okay. It's all right, just based on last night. We have a loaded guest list as well. Drew Dinsick going to kick things off in 15 minutes from NBC Sports, talking not only the NBA Cup, but also a little week 15 in the NFL. It is a Champions League soccer day today. Get Paul Carr in from True Media Sports at 10:45 Eastern as well after we talk some NBA Cup individually, get Kelly's plays, and then Will Hill, our longtime VSiN contributor, joins us top of our 11 a.m. Eastern hour to talk all things NBA. We'll have NFL, maybe some college basketball and college football with Will, and then Nick Whalen on the NBA from SiriusXM at 11:30 Eastern. We start, though, with a look back to what happened last night, Kelly. And if your name is not Amani Oruwariye, you're feeling pretty good today. But unfortunately for Mr. Oruwariye, shades of Leon Lett last night. 31 years and I guess a couple of, 500 maybe feet to the left of where the old Texas Stadium used to be.
Yeah.
It's similar situation as he tries to field a blocked punt. It allows Cincinnati to get the ball. And for us, you know, from the betting angle, this is a second straight week as Cincinnati scores a late Joe Burrow to Jamar Chase 40-yard touchdown. Second straight week where if you're on the underdog in Monday Night Football, you just get your heart ripped out in as gruesome and gory fashion as humanly possible. Bengals, even though they dominated the box score, Kelly, never the right side as far as actually covering the spread. And not only do they get the ball back late when Dallas should have had it in Brandon Aubrey field goal range in a 20-20 game, sending the three survivor entrants who were on Cincinnati into peril and panic. Instead, the Bengals move down, and not only do they get a game-winning field goal, but they get better than that. They get the covering touchdown as it lands 27-20. You just feel for the dog bettors who, as we discussed yesterday, a lot of folks on Dallas. That was a big, big move. Got all the way down to 4.5 at close, down from the 6.5 number. And it's really been, wouldn't you say, for underdog bettors, just the season in a nutshell, right? So many favorites that find ways to win and cover.
Yeah, absolutely. I didn't even see that's where it closed. It got all the way down to 4.5. Yeah. Wow, that is wild. Yeah, I know you and I were both talking, both leaning Dallas. There's we always talk about the weird feelings in betting you get sometimes. Isn't that a good one, Ben, when you were leaning really close to one side and then you get something fluky like that happens at the end of the game? You're like, thank God I wasn't involved in that one. Yeah, brutal beat if you were on Dallas. I guess I'll say the over too, Ben. I mean, I don't know about you, but after you're watching that first half play out and you kind of immediately start thinking a lot of what we talked about yesterday. How is either one of these defenses slowing down the other? Both offenses pretty much doing whatever they want. Rico Dowdle ends up finishing with 131 yards on the ground. The Cowboys running game looking pretty good. And, a game of consequence, I guess, for both sides that ends up ending in a very, very wacky way. I thought it was a little bit of ball don't lie situation, right? I thought Burrow with that missed face mask call was pretty egregious. And then, you know, just a short while later, blocked punt that gets recovered by the punt team, which, Ben, I don't know if I've ever seen in my life, to be honest.
You know, and it's crazy you bring that up, Kelly, because I thought the same thing. I'm like, I feel like this doesn't happen. I mean, everybody knows the Leon Lett play, even if you're not old enough to remember, just because of how infamous it became, which was on a blocked field goal where there was nobody around the ball. And then I'm thinking, there has to be another situation. And I see this from a guy who's been on with us at VSiN in the past, Scott Reichel at Reichel Radio. Literally the exact same thing happened in a Cowboy game with the exact same coaching staff, including the same special teams coach in 2021. And I'm watching the video. It was that Broncos Cowboy game when Denver, I remember Denver went into Dallas as 9.5-point dogs and just blew out the 6-1 Cowboys. That was their only home loss of the regular season, I believe, that year. And the same exact thing happened. So this is just a weird Cowboy thing, I guess. But yeah. They're the ones who blow it. And you can't help now but wonder. I mean, did you see the Micah Parsons interview shot they aired on SportsCenter last night, where he was literally in tears talking about his teammate, his linebacker, DeMarvion Overshown, who suffered a bad injury, who had been this unbelievable bright spot emerging as a second-year player on the Dallas defense. You know, Cowboys, as much as we viewed them as their season being basically over, you know, they still were technically in it, and this really puts a nail in the coffin on their playoff hopes. So you just have to wonder, on the short week with an emotional loss like that, how do they get themselves up off the mat now, going to Carolina, who is set to likely be favored here for the first time in 34 games? It's fascinating for the handicap this week.
Oh, good. We actually got an exact number on those games. Thanks. I was trying to add that up yesesterday during the show with last time they had been a favorite. Good job. Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, we talked about it yesterday when we were going over these games. I think Carolina is the only way you could look. We wanted to see how this played out last night. Now that you've got Dallas out of things, it's still Carolina's the only way I could look, Ben, but I'm not making that bet. I wouldn't make that bet with your money. I'm not making it with my money.
Panthers 5-0 against the spread since November 1st. The 33-game streak from Evan H. Abrams, where you follow him. Longest streak without being favored since the Browns from 2015 to 2018 had 37 straight games as an underdog. And ironically, as much as you're saying, oh, why would Carolina be favored? You know, the way Bryce Young is playing, Carolina probably has the better quarterback in the game when you compare it to Cooper Rush, who, look, it's not like you expect a ton from Rush as a backup, but he has struggled mightily just with completing throws that are out there in the open for him. And this game is now touch two. It is touch two at Circa behind you, Kelly, and a couple other books. 1.5 there, most of the market.
Yeah, 1.5, 2s. Yeah, so really not much movement from what we've seen the other day. And my apologies to the Cowboys. Sorry, I forgot. Basically, everybody in the NFC is still alive, technically, for a playoff spot. So, yeah, they're still out there. Technically. Yeah. It's got a lot of work to do. So.
Well, like in Cincinnati, I mean, same way. We were joking yesterday.
The Panthers are technically still alive. So, there you go. Yeah. Big game this weekend.
Look, people making fun of all the folks who are on the Carolina over 4.5 wins. Like, that is not dead by any means. I mean, there's a legit path there. Three wins so far for Carolina. They could pick off a couple more before the season is over.
Pump the brakes real quick. As well as we've been talking about how they're playing, they still ain't picking up W's is the problem. They might be covering spreads, but they're not picking up W's a lot here.
I'm not very good at math, but if they do cover the spread, they will win this week. That's at least the thing for Carolina. They would need one more some way somehow to get over that win total. And for Cincinnati, the joke has been, all right, you watch CBS, which you would think would be more pro Bengals chances since that is the AFC network. They don't even have Cincinnati in there, at least for this past week. They did not have Cincinnati in there still in the hunt graphic, which they're usually very liberal about the teams they include, Kelly. Meanwhile, Fox did have Cincinnati in the hunt graphic. So Cincinnati's technically in. They went from 14-1 down to 11-1 after last night, and a lot of it is schedule based since they get four teams in the AFC. It's in Tennessee, and that line reopens. Cincinnati either 4.5 or 5 on the road next week. You'll get Cleveland at home, and then you get Pittsburgh late in the season in a potential spot. You know, you wonder, all right, how much will Pittsburgh be playing for? That's week 18 there, and then you also have a game at home against Denver. But it's always the thing, you have to look at the teams on the other side of that. So since he's 3 back of the three teams tied at 8-5 for the 3 wildcard spots with 4 weeks to go, you know, Denver's probably the one team who would be most likely to fall out of that. But as you made a bet yesterday, we didn't really have a chance to get to it on the openers. You know, Denver out of the bye has a really good opportunity with a game at home against Indianapolis. Really fascinating matchup since both teams are out of the bye. Indy certainly desperate as well at 6-7. But if Denver at least takes care of business there, now you'd look at the path for Cincy, and you know, even if they are to win out, I don't know that an 11-1 bet really makes all that much sense. because of what is at play with the other teams they're trying to chase.
Yeah, I would need much longer odds than that. I mean, even the Dolphins one game better than them, right? It's still technically in that mix as well. I think I'd like their chances even better than Cincinnati's to make it. And yeah, I mean, massive game this weekend. You're right. I did bet the Broncos on the opener. That line's come down pretty significantly. I know we got Drew Dinsick coming up next. I believe he's on the other side, but we'll find out. I think his numbers had this spread pretty far off. I just think Denver coming off the bye, Sean Payton, experienced head coach there. They know what's in front of them. They know they control their own destiny here, getting into the playoffs. Colts are one of the teams you've got to hold back. And, man, Anthony Richardson has been playing a little bit better. His Colts team has looked a little bit better. But, Ben, they've been one of the toughest teams for me to handicap all season long. It feels like they want to lean on that running game more, but then you always see these wild incompletions from Anthony Richardson. I do think he's playing a little bit better ball, but I think asking them to go into Denver, pick up this win straight up is a pretty tough ask. So yeah, I am on Denver this week. And like you said, Cincinnati, a lot of things are going to have to go their way for them to end up making it.
Yeah, I certainly, based on just basic numbers, would have leaned the Denver way. I assume that number would be pushing near a touchdown based on the Denver performances. And certainly it is way, way lower than that. We're down to 3.5 at a couple of shops. Four is most of the market. I just am always concerned when you have a team playing so well, or even if they aren't playing well, getting lots of breaks like Denver. Go back to the last Monday night game. I don't like betting on those teams coming out of their bye week when you have all that positive rhythm, positive momentum disrupted naturally. Mm-hmm. Whereas the bye did come at a much better time for Indianapolis, a chance to reset for them. Matchup to watch there, though. I mean, it's an Indianapolis O-line that has been good creating holes on the ground for Anthony Richardson and Jonathan Taylor, top six in the league. Denver, top five run defense. That's what this comes down to, at least for me, Kelly, is part of the handicap. And that's the matchup I'm not sure we know have a definitive answer to yet, because that is strength on strength. And maybe Drew Dinsick will have some thoughts on that on the other side. We're just getting started. Tuesday edition of A Numbers Game. Drew Dinsick will join us up next from NBC Sports and Bet the Edge podcast. Talking NFL Week 15 as well as the NBA Cup when we come back right here on A Numbers Game.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Ready to elevate your tailgate game? You have to try Sewell's Barbecue, born from a backyard cookout in a mason jar of unforgettable flavor. Sewell's has become a Southern favorite, lighting up taste buds from Georgia to the Carolinas, from ribs and wings to a backyard burger. Sewell's takes every bite to the next level. You can order online at sewellsbarbecuesauce.com. That is SEWELLSBBQsauce.com. As we're just getting started, Tuesday edition of A Numbers Game. A lot of NFL talk so far about the transition, not only into some NFL, but some NBA with our guy, Drew Dinsick, as we go out to our progressive guest line. Kelly, I need to ask Drew a question here, because you've been talking about how when we're doing shows remote, you like to just stare into my soul. And I can definitely feel it on my side of the camera. Drew, when you're doing spots, can you feel Kelly's, you know, his intent gaze staring you right deep into the heart over there?
I'll go a different direction. It brings me a little bit of peace. You know, it brings it centers me. It brings me some calm to know that you know, that I need to be on my best behavior, you know?
Oh, wow. That's the look that I give. Yeah, sure.
I more feel like caffeine osmosis coming my direction. But, to each his own, each interpretation. Drew Dinsick from NBC Sports, Bet the Edge podcast. So Kelly was teeing it up. He believes that for week 15 in the NFL, Drew, you are going to be oppo of him looking at Indianapolis. Were you part of this wave of Colt money that hit the market yesterday, as we're down to 3.5 in some shops?
Yeah, I agree with this. And I think Colts are very live, not just to win this game, but to storm into the seventh seed right now. I think 10 wins gets you the seventh seed in the AFC. And right now, at least, the Colts have the tiebreaker over the Steelers, albeit it is very unlikely that comes into play. But a head-to-head win against the Broncos basically flips probability for playoffs between those two teams. Right now I have it 60-40 Broncos. A win by the Colts would actually make it 70-30 Colts for me. So got a lot of ways to attack this, obviously. You know, the money line price for the Colts in this game is not that different than the make the playoff price for the Colts. If the Colts lose this game, I don't think there's really a way in for them. They're playing their best football right now. They're coming off of a bye where they're wide receivers are getting healthy. I'm expecting Josh Downs to be a full go. Michael Pittman and Alec Pierce needed, definitely needed the break to get right, because those guys were playing through injuries. The offensive line needed the break to get better and play through injuries. And then in general, I think the defense, while not really willing to go to war with this defense often, they do play pretty squarely into exactly what Bo Nix has not shown us he has any ability to solve. When you go over the tape against the Browns, obviously the Broncos scored a billion points in that one, 14 of which were obviously generated by defensive touchdowns. But when you split out Browns coverage between man coverage and zone coverage, Nix was useless against man, and he was very effective against zone. And Gus Bradley, I think, is in general willing to tack into zone, man pretty aggressively, which I think should keep this Broncos team in a bit of check to make things a little bit more challenging for the Broncos. It was very obvious in that Browns game how much they miss Riley Moss. I'm not expecting Riley Moss available in the secondary here, so there's going to be a lot of places to pick at. If you are Shane Steichen and you have an elite set of weapons who can get open downfield. So, yeah, I think Colts covered this number. I think Colts win. And if I'm the Broncos, I'm very nervous about what my path to the playoffs look like if I lose this game.
So Drew and Kelly Oppo here. Drew Dinsick joining us here on A Numbers Game at @whale_capper, by the way, if you don't follow Drew already. Art, what do you make, too, of the – we've had a number of moves here coming overnight from Monday now into Tuesday. A lot of Buffalo money pouring into the market off the huge offensive output against Detroit. Is this more because we've seen Buffalo – they've just looked like a different team when they're indoors and what they can really unlock with the Josh Allen-led offense. What do you make of that specific matchup now? As we see the Lions here getting bet against down to as low as 1.5, do you make Buffalo and Detroit a pick 'em on a neutral field?
I do. And I think the sentiment is probably more related to speculation about the defensive injuries for the Lions. The spine of the defense, the interior of the D line, everyone is hurt and they all matter. And I think the fact that your D line now, which did play up in that first half against the Packers before the injuries really set in. If you deplete that unit, now you're not stopping the run on top of, having relatively little hope of succeeding in the red zone as far as defense goes. So I think, weirdly, this creates a paradigm where Detroit, if they want to win this game, isn't just you have to score every time you have the ball, which they can do. It's you have to score every time you have the ball, and you have to create relatively long drives where you are matriculating over the balance of 10 minutes of time of possession. And then you just need to be able to create one, maybe two turnovers of Josh Allen to win this game. And that's a pretty fragile state, especially if you are a favorite. And so I completely understand why there is Bills money coming in. I kind of actually lean under 54.5 right now, just because I do think there will be a premium from both of these teams to try to lean into the run and have more sustained drives and protect their defense a bit. In order to get to 55 points, you're going to need basically superlative red zone success from both of these teams combined with some explosive plays. And I'm not really sure either of these teams is served by, kind of attacking explosively. So this to me looks like it could be a surprise under, even if there is just absurd offensive efficiency in this game. And I haven't played it yet, but I definitely understand why there's love for the Bills.
Right, move of 3.5 points to the over, Drew, what you're talking about. You are paying a premium if you want to go over now at 55 in the Bills-Lions game. We'll get to NBA Cup in a second. Any other NFL early you've bet here for Week 15?
I'm kind of surprised that there's Steelers money. This is the one move in the market that I really just didn't see coming, honestly. Eagles at 4 looks good to me. I like the Seahawks at +3. I kind of am, again, a little bit blown away that we're getting a somewhat reasonably priced 3 on Seattle at home here, considering that Seattle is, getting consistently better week by week. Their defense is now very clearly top 7 as far as quality of play and just ability to limit opponents. And, the Seahawks offense it is Jekyll and Hyde, depending on how aggressive the pass rush they are facing. And the Packers have not shown an ability to consistently generate pressure. So I'm not worried at all about the Seahawks going score for score and getting a win against the Packers here. So that number looks quite wrong to me. And then, you know, everything else that I'm showing edges on right now are pretty suspect games where motivations are in question and jobs are, you know, on the line. And I'm not 100% sure I have the intestinal fortitude to play some of these terrible dogs.
All right, Drew, NBA Cup. Let's get to the good stuff. Starting tonight, quarterfinals, Magic at Bucks, the early game, Mavericks at Thunder late. I've got Wisconsinite Ben Wilson I'm doing the show with, Wisconsinite Nick Whalen coming on later, so I know there's going to be a little built-in bias. I like the Bucks though tonight. Talk me out of it, Drew. You're the voice of reason when it comes against the Bucks.
I'm the voice of reason saying there's value on the Magic, and I do not feel that way right now. No way, no how. This Magic team, in the absence of Franz Wagner, is going to look quite different, especially against the league competition playing for something. So I'm with you 100% here. I could see this Bucks team boat racing the Magic in this spot, and it's really disappointing. And just, you know, I was having a great Saturday. It was, you know, Christmas parade here in Long Beach, 70 degrees. I mean, you know, everything's going my way.
Yeah.
And then,
Then that alert hit.
Hits the wire. Franz Wagner torn oblique. I was spending that MIP money on Christmas presents, Kelly. I don't know. We're gonna have to defer some credits cards today. No, I'm just kidding. That was really, really a bummer, and it's going to take the Magic a little bit of time because it hurts their defense really for this matchup a lot. And I think the Bucks are going to basically be able to pick their number, and I think the Bucks probably go into the finals.
Well, that's not going to help me out, Ben. This might be a rather large wager for me tonight. Bucks, anything else in the late game for you, and anything tomorrow with the Hawks, Knicks, Warriors at Rockets?
Yep. I played Mavericks at +5. I thought it was going to move more. The fact that you can get 4.5 still, I think, is a really good bet. This number should be more like 3, in my opinion. And the Mavericks are sort of the clear and obvious buy low in basically every way right now. Mm-hmm. I think the Mavericks are going to get a top 2 seed in the West. They could run down the Thunder for all I can tell you. But they look now like they're playing like the high quality team we saw at the end of last year's regular season, which was the second best in basketball. They're going to absolutely put pressure on this Thunder team. They can win. And if I had to, in the blind, pick, you know, with our NBA Cup final, I would take Bucks Mavericks right now.
Drew Dinsick with us here on A Numbers Game. Follow him at Whale_Capper from the Deep Dive Podcast and NBC Sports. That would be your final here. If we're putting you on the spot, Bucks Mavs NBA Cup.
Yeah, I think the Knicks cover and win against the Hawks, but that's a pretty weak opinion. That number looks right to me. And I think the Rockets can eke out a win against the Warriors. I don't really favor either the Knicks or the Rockets in their potential semifinal matchups. But I'll tell you what, Bucks-Knicks total can't be high enough.
Yeah, seriously, that'll be you figure. Put in the 240s for that one there. Drew, as always, man, appreciate the time. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, best of luck, guys.
And we'll get into Kelly's NBA Cup best bets. I'm glad, you know, the Wisconsin influence, it's, you know, it doesn't impact our betting, Kelly, but, you know, you got Drew to maybe push you over the edge. So we'll talk NBA Cup when we return right here on A Numbers Game.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Are you the type of player who's looking to get down $10,000 or more on NFL lines at the best price in the market? Or maybe looking to get your in-game play instantly accepted? Introducing SportsGrid, the app that will change sports betting. -104 line instead of the typical -110, plus instant in-game betting and a concierge player service. SportsTrade is live in New Jersey, Colorado, Iowa, Arizona, and Virginia. And if you download SportsTrade and use code VSiN, you can earn 10% cash back on each wager in your first week. Terms apply. He is Kelly Bidlin. I'm Ben Wilson in for Gill next couple of days. We're back here on A Numbers Game, and we are very fired up. Kelly, I mean, load him up with all the cheese, the beer, the milk, beer after the show, but all dairy products, as you are, I believe, ready to go all in on the Milwaukee Bucks tonight. Seven-point favorites against Orlando at home. The Franz Wagner and Paolo Banchero-less Orlando Magic as we kick off the first two of the four quarterfinal games. Two of them tonight, two of them tomorrow, Kelly. And I believe, like, I'm not trying to influence you with my Wisconsin roots. I have not been betting the Bucks at all, especially after the awful start. But clearly, this latest stretch, 8-2 last 10 games, second best offense by overall efficiency in that span, and getting an Orlando team that without its two stars has been a very, very good home team, but has been super inconsistent on the road. It makes a lot of sense, especially now that the line has come down off the opener of 9, that the Bucks would be a play here. You can find 7s in a lot of places. We're showing 7.5. Which is the number at Circa right now.
Yeah, this was, you know, these bets you think about and you're kind of leaning one way and you say, okay, I'm going to go back, look at some numbers again. And then you come to the same conclusion and then you push it off again and say, all right, I'm going to come back. I'll come back a little bit later, see where this number's moved, look at some things again. And yeah, that was finally this morning, Ben. I had to pull the trigger on Milwaukee. Got down to 6.5 here at Boyd here in Vegas, FanDuel, rest of country at 6.5. On Milwaukee, that's a bet for me tonight. This is, and it is the most simplistic part about this handicap is the big part. It is just, how is Orlando going to score? And yes, this defense, it was interesting to hear Drew talk about Franz being such a big factor for defensively for Orlando. That I agree. I think defensively they still should be able to slow Giannis and Dame down at least a bit, but is it going to be enough throughout the course of the game? I don't think so. And then on the other side of the court, it's you can say whatever you want about the Milwaukee defense right now. It might not be where we've seen it. We've seen it at its heights over the past couple years. It's also not been at the lows that we saw near the end of last season too. Doc has made some improvements on that side of the ball. But Ben, it's just, who is going to score on the Orlando side to keep us up? I know Jalen Suggs. I know both Zach Cohen and JVT have player prop bets on him tonight. I believe Zach is on over on his threes. JVT's over on his PRA. I think that makes a lot of sense. We saw his usage rate go up in the one game that they've played without Franz and Paolo Banchero. I guess he's going to be the guy that the ball runs through. He's not exactly a pure point guard though either. So I there are major questions for me about what Orlando is going to be able to do offensively. And I think if Milwaukee can play, I mean, 85% of what I think their ceiling is right now with the team that they look like right now in the league, Ben, I mean, I think this is Milwaukee probably by double digits. So you're getting them at 7-ish right now. It's a play on for me tonight. I already have them in the futures market in the cup as well. I bet them as soon as the Franz news came across. And look, I've gotten a couple tweets throughout the past couple days. Drew made a great case for Franz Wagner, a most improved player earlier in the season. I know there was a lot of people that listened to the show that joined him. Ben, luckily I got burned on that bet last year, so I stayed away. But man, it's just a brutal loss for this Magic team. And it's going to be interesting to see how long he's out for when Paolo Banchero gets back. They just need the offense on that side of the ball. So this is going to be a play on Milwaukee for sure for me tonight.
Market has been staunchly on the Orlando side. They've been getting money every single night, yep. even now without their two top stars. And they did get the win in the first game without Franz Wagner Saturday. It was sort of the fallen hero theory, if you will, as Goga Patadze had a huge game against Phoenix. They win that game at home, but really no rim protection offered whatsoever by the small ball Phoenix lineup. Now you turn it around and Batadze, who had a double-double, 21-16. Last time I checked, Milwaukee does have pretty good rim protection with the Brook Lopez, Giannis Antetokounmpo combo. Puts another tough matchup as far as Orlando is concerned. As we look at the futures here as a result of this, first on the Eastern side, and then we'll get into the other game for tonight on the Western side. You know, Knicks actually shorter odds to make the NBA Cup final. Even though I would assume at this point, if it was Knicks and Bucks who were the favored teams out of the East, Bucks would be favored on that neutral site game in Las Vegas. We asked Drew Dinsick during the break. He did corroborate that. He felt like Bucks would be about a 2.5-point favorite on the neutral court there. Knicks plus 110 to make the cup final. Bucks plus 130. I wonder if the better bet isn't just you lock in Giannis to win cup MVP right now, plus 550. With the Bucks at plus 360. I understand you always have to factor in a Damian Lillard piece of it,
yeah,
since he's also a star, and Lillard is 17-1, but it makes the most sense to look at it that way, as you're getting the most bang for your buck on this in-season bet, where the Bucks are going to be, if assuming they win, would be, regardless of about the results, the only team in the Final Four who has been in this NBA Cup format in Las Vegas in the past.
Yeah, I think shop around on these. I'd be more interested. I bet them team, just the team future for them to win the Cup. Just shop around. I know yesterday when I was checking out, I'm trying to pull up a couple different shops right now. Like over at FanDuel, we're showing DraftKings odds plus 360. Over at FanDuel, they're plus 450. So shop around. There's some pretty big differences in numbers on the NBA Cup, like there has been all along. It's been why it's been one of the great betting vehicle here over the first two seasons for a love bet in the NBA Cup so far because of stuff like this. I think there's enough of a chance, just enough of a chance that Lillard does something that I wouldn't be wrapping it all my money up in that, Ben. But I think if you did something like a 75-25 split, something like that on the team future, and then added Giannis, yes, in all likelihood, if they did win it, it would be him. Just a couple other numbers also to add on for that game tonight. You brought up a couple of these too. Bucks, 10 of their last 13 W's. You got Chris Middleton back in that lineup right now. Even these two teams head-to-head, Magic and Bucks, Bucks 8-2 in their last 10 meetings. Orlando 0-8 in their last 0-8 straight up in their last 8 games in Milwaukee. So have struggled going up to Milwaukee. And then I know you brought this up, I think it was before the show actually, but the Magic, they had this real odd thing going on early in the season where they could only win at home and they were not winning on the road. And that's, it's maybe leveled out a little bit, but still they are 7-9 straight up on the road this season, 6-10 ATS. So just all things to keep in mind. Franz Wagner, that is over 15 points added on his on-off splits that they're going to be missing out on tonight. So I do think that is big. In the night game, Mavericks at Thunder. This one's interesting. I think I've heard good takes on both sides. This is a small bet for me on the Thunder side here tonight, Ben. Have heard a lot of Mavericks love. This Mavericks team been one of, if not the hottest teams in the NBA right now, so I completely get it. I got in at 4 yesterday on the Thunder. The one thing that I saw on a couple of the injury notes that came out yesterday, and this is not the biggest reason for the bet. My numbers leaned a little bit towards the Thunder anyways. But PJ Washington, Najee Marshall, both listed as questionable for this game right now. I would expect both of them to go. The only thing that, and you know this doing play-by-play, Ben, you see illness pop up not next to one name, but then a couple names, and you start wondering, oh, is there something going around in that locker room? I think just something to keep in mind if you are looking at the Mavericks side tonight. But I completely understand with how hot they've been why anybody be looking at this side. I think totals for these games, both of these, would be a hard look to the under. I got close to a bet on the under in this Mavericks Thunder team. Both these teams playing top 10 defenses right now. And this Thunder team, even since they've gotten Hardenstein in the lineup, they're still second best in defensive ratings since he's come into the lineup. So tough game from the by the side. My numbers made it a little bit less on the Thunder. I did end up betting it at 4. Completely understand the Mavericks love out there. The one thing I would add, though, if you are betting the Mavericks, you, Drew, and I were talking about this on the break. I think you got to look at Luka in the Cup MVP market. I would be adding that as well. I think he is one of the guys that has very little competition on his own team. Even Kyrie, I know he's there, but Luka's going to get all the love if they go and do anything. And then I know Drew brought it up. I bet it last week. I brought it up on the show. Luka Doncic, I think over 10-1 still MVP for regular season is still a very good bet to make right now with the numbers that he's going to be putting up by the end of the season. Ben, any other thoughts you had on tonight's game, Mavericks Thunder, or any of the ones tomorrow?
Yeah, interesting to see the market just go kind of haywire last night. I mean, OKC dipped down to 3 at Circa, and I think a minute later went from -3 directly to -6, and then toggled back down to 4.5. So there's been a lot of two-way interest, especially betting openers here. A move of 3 points to the over. Just wanted to point out from the first time these two teams met, which was no Kyrie Irving, and Dallas won outright in OKC. Mavericks were catching 7.5. Total was 226. So I get what you're talking about there, Kelly, to the under, because we've seen an over 5 point move now on that total to the over. Mavericks plus 850 to get the one seed in the West. They're 2.5 back of the Thunder. If you're looking at more of a long term bet. Who says no?
I don't hate that. Again, I like Luka MVP. Can't wait for this game tonight because there is a bit of a rivalry growing between these two teams, right, Ben? And Dallas has kind of owned them here through the playoffs, and then he brought up the one game earlier this season. So excited to see how this one plays out tonight.
I'm going to do some shopping during the break, to say the least on that. Paul Carr, he joins us to talk some Champions League when we return on A Numbers Game.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
What about smarter? Start with smarter insights with expert breakdowns of the week's biggest matchup to deep dives into betting strategies and trends. VSiN delivers the kind of actionable content that gives you the betting edge. We were just talking NBA Cup, and you can go to our website right now. Check out Zach Cohen's NBA Cup quarterfinal previews. Also, Greg Peterson on college basketball. Josh Applebaum on early college football playoff insights. Coming up later today, Mike Somich, his bets week 15 in the NFL. Adam Schein's Shine 9 column and Jonathan Davis's NHL bets for the day. Sign up right now for as little as $9.99 to get access to all of our articles on VSiN.com. Check that out, VSiN.com/subscribe. And in addition to all that, Kelly, it's a Tuesday, which means, at least like most Tuesdays, Champions League Tuesday starts. I know you're you're ready to go. So we got Champions League on the docket today and tomorrow. And to talk all things Champions League and the state of soccer across the pond, we welcome in our pal Paul Carr, who joins us right now. I'll give Paul a follow at Paul Carr from True Media Sports. Great to see you, Paul. And it was kind of a weird week over in the UK. I'm still trying to figure out, Kelly, we always talk about this, other countries and their usage of terminology for different storms. Apparently the UK, they just called major, they just call them storm. It's just storm. Storm Dara, but it postpones the Merseyside Derby. So it was a shame that we didn't get to see Everton-Liverpool. Did you view that as a good thing for Liverpool because of the fixture congestion, or a negative considering just how absolutely blazing hot they have been as far as their form here recently?
I feel like for the top teams and these top players that are also have been, you know, international windows the last 3 months, I feel like any kind of break is good. So I think it's a good thing for Liverpool. They get a little extra rest. It never hurts. Now it may come back to bite them at some point later in the season if they advance in the tournaments, if they, you know, wherever, depending on where they reschedule it. But right ahead of the December, the Christmas window, when they jam as many games in as they can over those week or two between the holidays, right, I think it's a good thing for Liverpool.
Yeah, Liverpool opening up. They have a 4-point lead on Chelsea now, but with a match in hand. And that it's one of those things. It feels like every year, and I realize Chelsea is playing technically in the Europa Conference League, which that's like, right, that's like Europa Conference League, which is essentially now, Kelly will appreciate this, this is like the CIT or the CBI, mm-hmm, for us, nice, college basketball fans. So I get that technically they have competitions, but don't we tend to see this every year where it's a team that has very, you know, whether it's semi-meaningless European competition or none at all. Brighton has been an example of this year where they've had much fewer on the fixture congestion side. You see them tend to perform better in the league. And I wonder, do you feel like what Chelsea's doing this year after they'd really gone through a rebuild the last couple of seasons, is that real and sustainable or something that you feel like has been a bit of smoke and mirrors so far as they sit second in the table?
Yeah, I think they're a legit top four team. Are they a title contender? I'm not quite there. Partially because Liverpool's just been both playing well and running well. But Maresco's come in, the new coach, and really just kind of sorted things out, I think, faster than at least I expected. They had all this talent that we knew, and they just hadn't figured out how to organize it, who needed to be on the field. He's figured out ways to get all their best players on the field at the same time, like central trio of midfielders. He's got all on the field, moving one around to right back, moving him in, and things like that. So he seems to have kind of started to settle, which is a good thing. Settle on, here's the guys I want to see. So I've been pretty impressed with Chelsea. I think they're a fringe title contender right now. Part of that, again, is because Liverpool's running well, because Arsenal is, you know, in the same vicinity. We kind of have written Man City out of the title race, which is wild. So it's Chelsea's legit. I don't know if they can catch Liverpool just given the deficit they're facing now, but I do think they're a legit top four team. Very solid.
Chelsea with just your classic midweek trip to Kazakhstan, Paul. So take on FC Astana in the Europa Conference. Like, then they get Shamrock Rovers at home next week. So, that's a real test of your geographical skills when we get to the Europa Conference League. But, Paul, you mentioned Man City, who was on this disastrous run of form. Finally snap it, at least within the Premier League. But you just wonder where the direction goes from here, as they are a part of, you know, they'll be on your card here. They do take on Juventus on Wednesday. Juventus, of all the five major leagues in Europe, the best defense, yet the offense has tended to struggle, at least in Serie A. I mean, Juventus somehow without a loss, yet they've been way back in the table because of all the draws they've piled up. For Man City, what would the focus be if you're Pep Guardiola right now trying to dig out of this rut, and how much, like, where is the emphasis going to be here, at least in the next couple of weeks? As you had mentioned earlier, we approach that super busy Christmas window here in about 2 weeks.
For me, the question is, they're still kind of trying to figure out personnel since Rodri, their midfielder, the player of the year, the world player of the year, went out with injury. They don't have anybody like him, and there is nobody like him really in world soccer. So there's that. But City hasn't figured out what to do. Is there a tactical adjustment they need to make? Is there someone they can plug in there and then work around them? They've tried some different things, moving Kovacic back, moving Akanji up from defense, and neither one has been very successful yet. So they've got to figure out how to kind of solidify that midfield. Or do they just decide they're going to win every game 5-2 or something like that, which isn't out of the realm of possibility, but their attack also isn't as potent as it has been in recent years. So it's really just kind of it's a big picture question that is going to get answered by these small pieces they have got to figure out how to move around. Is what can they do? How do they figure out how to adjust without Rodri?
I honestly find myself really tempted, Paul. Man City 2-1 to finish top two, not even to win. It's awfully tempting when you think about the pedigree of Pep. And right now, as much as it was disappointing, they drew with Crystal Palace over the weekend, finally snapped their losing streak against Nottingham Forest in midweek. They are sitting fourth, four back right now of Chelsea. But again, still so much soccer to be played. They'll be a part of your card, at least for the Wednesday slate of Champions League. This is not a match today, but tomorrow. How do you see that matchup going against Juventus, this rock solid, awesome defensive team whose really only issue has been capitalizing in the final third?
Right. I mean, I want to continue fading Man City. I've done it on here, I think, 5 or 6 times in the last few weeks, and they've all worked out well but one so far. So that's what I kind of want to do in this game. The trick is what you said. Juventus doesn't score. And so, you know, obviously, a 0-0 draw would get you there if you're playing a draw or the double chance. But they probably need to score at least one goal. Are you really going to shut City out? Maybe. Juventus's defense hasn't been quite as good without Bremer since he got hurt. But still solid, and as weird as it is to say for an undefeated team, I'm not really sure how good they are. They're okay. They're not definitely not the best team in Italy, maybe not the top 4 or 5. But where I came around to on this is the double chance on Juventus at minus 120. Get the win or the draw. Again, this is kind of I'm just going to keep fading City until they consistently prove that they've got something. I know they got the one win against Forest, but they bounced back with a very mediocre performance against Palace over the weekend. So I'm going to keep fading City. They're going on the road. They haven't had much success in Europe so far. I'll take the double chance on Juventus at minus 120.
Juventus somehow has only allowed 10 goals in 15 Serie A matches, and they are a whopping 6th in the table thanks to 9 draws. It was straight out of Ted Lasso when they drew like 15 matches in a row. You couldn't figure out if that was a good or a bad thing. Paul Carr with us right now from True Media on a numbers game. Talking Champions League, we look at another match for Wednesday, then we'll get into your best bet, Paul, for today as Borussia Dortmund under the first-year manager Nuri Sahin, the former Dortmund player. It's been a much more open style, as we tend to see with a lot of these younger managers coming in, very progressive tactically. But a really good matchup at Dortmund for all their struggles in general in the Bundesliga. For whatever reason, Champions League has just been, I don't know what it is, but it seems like they're safe haven, as weird as that is to say. They've been so good in these Champions League matches. Fascinating matchup now against a Barcelona team with Robert Lewandowski facing off against his former club.
Yeah, Dortmund has some sort of Champions League devil magic, like a minor version of what Real Madrid has. They weren't that good last year, and they all made a deep knockout stage run. And you mentioned how open Dortmund likes to play. Guess who else likes to play open? It's Barcelona. They probably have the best attack in the world so far this season. And you mentioned Lewandowski, he's defying Father Time. Rafinha's been great out on the wing. Lamine Yamal is the teenager you might remember from Euros last summer. He's still doing the same thing. Lots of assists, handful of goals for him so far this year at Barcelona. So the attack is great. And the defense is not good for Barcelona. They've allowed the 7th most expected goals in La Liga, which, you know, out of 20 teams and you're the best team in the league, you really don't expect to be giving up that many quality shots because they're conceding really good shots as well. So you have a great offense, you have a not very good defense, and you've got a Dortmund team that is kind of similar. They play an open game, but they give up a lot of good shots on the counter. You've seen that in Champions League matches against Real Madrid, for example. So I think we've got goals here one way or the other. I'll play over 3.5 at even money. If you're feeling braver, you want to play over 4.5 at plus 250. I'm okay with that too.
Nice.
Because a majority of Barcelona games have had 4-plus goals this year, 13 out of 22. So over 3.5 even money is the official play.
Yeah, Barcelona has scored 3 or more goals, 10 of their last 13 matches there in all competition. For today, we get another battle of the top teams, at least in Spain, as Real Madrid is in action. They take on Italy's Atalanta today, Paul.
Atalanta is the best team in Italy right now. They've won 6 of the last 7. The defense has been really good. haven't given up more than about three quarters of an expected goal in any of those games. And I think they're going to be up for this from an intangible standpoint. Playing Real Madrid is the biggest game that you're going to have on your schedule. They got them at home. Atalanta just looks really good. They're more controlled than they have been. I have the draw, no bet at even money. So they win, you win. They draw, you get push, essentially. Atalanta versus Real Madrid.
Even in the step-ups in competition, Atalanta, three wins, two draws in their five Champions League matches so far. They're a solid fifth in that Champions League table. Paul Carr at Paul Carr from True Media. Always a pleasure, sir, catching up with you. Best of luck here on your Champions League plays.
Thanks, Ben.
We will come back, reset with a fresh hour on a numbers game. Still so much to get to with Kelly Bidlin. I'm Ben Wilson. We'll be back right after this here on